theme song.
This is the Firefly Funhouse, and I want to introduce you to some very special friends that I've met along the way.
Hey, this is Adam Copeland, a.k.a. the Rated R Superstar.
Hey, guys, this is Renee Paquette.
This is Kane from WWE.
This is WWE Superstar Drew McIntyre.
Hello, this is WWE Hall of Famer, the Heartbreak Kid, Shawn Michaels.
Hi, this is Bree.
And this is Nikki, and we're the Bella Twins.
This is Christopher Daniels, and what I like to do on my off days is listen to the rap, and now you are sick.
And it is awesome.
Satisfaction is guaranteed.
It's time to experience the award-winning The Rack.
Goodness gracious, great balls of fire.
I love kickball.
I'm back, taking souls and digging holes.
I'm gonna break you, bitch, you hear me?
You can look, but you can't touch.
Ruthless aggression.
With your host.
They've been lying to you. Heroes don't exist. Y'all become addicted to the illusion of what a hero does for you. Have I mentioned that I was once addicted to eating sponges?
Lindsay Ward.
Look at me, woman.
And you can just call me Taker.
Oh my God, it's Taker. Taker, Taker, Taker. Does Taker hate me? Oh my God, it's Taker.
And she was a wicked, wicked child who spat and swore and chewed tobacco.
I like puppets.
Stickers!
And her producer, Sir Rockin.
My little creatures of the night will now experience the magical art of puppetry.
If you smell... what the game is playing.
Live on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
We're here.
Yowie wowie!
Gangnam Style. Gangnam Style.
낮에는 따사로운 인간적인 여자, 커피 한 잔에 여유를 아는 품격 있는 여자, 밤이 오면 심장이 뜨거워지는 여자, 그런 반전 있는 여자. 너는 선호해. 낮에는 너만큼 따사로운 그런 선호해. 커피 식기도 전에 원샷 때리는 선호해. 밤이 오면 심장이.
Good evening, everyone. Welcome to The Rocker here on WildTalkRadio.com, brought to you by our friends over at MBG Films. Check them out, YouTube.com/MBG1211. And if you're listening to us over on RockRadioShow.com, WildTalkRadio.com, or directly on Twitch, thank you so much for tuning in. We greatly appreciate it. You're on Twitch and you have to have a Prime Gaming sub available. Well, you can use it here for free for 30 days. All you have to do is hit the little purple button down the bottom of the screen and you can subscribe for free. It is that simple. You can also, you know, subscribe the regular way, follow the channel, hang out and chat, or listen to the archive. We are happy to have you any way we can get you. I'm your host, Lindsay Ward. Joining me, as always, is the ever faithful producer slash co-host slash handyman, Sir Rockin.
We're here for live Thursday night. We're talking King and Queen of the Ring. You can tweet us at Wild Talk Radio, at Rock Radio Show, at Lindsay Ward, come to wildtalkradio.com, rockradioshow.com, or twitch.tv/WTR Live, and talk to us, interact with us, and do Gangnam Style.
The legit Gangnam Style, not the knockoff. Legit.
Hold on. Just subscribed for 16 months. Oh hey, a button to push. You woo, you woo, you woo for Rock's birthday.
I don't know if I should say thank you or no ooh woo. But thanks, Brian, for 16 months.
It didn't play on my end. I didn't hear it.
You're not hearing the alerts? Interesting.
I didn't hear the alert.
Weird. Wonder if it's going... Oh, because it's not going through that. We'll have to figure that part out. Okay.
Uwu lives on in our hearts forever.
Yes. It lives in our hearts forever. Uh-huh.
Team Uwu! It lives on in the chat.
It lives on in the chat. Yep, that's where it lives on at. Because I'm a glutton, and I am testing something. We'll see if this works. It didn't replay it. Okay, cool. Thanks, Streamlabs.
Streamlabs, please get your shit together. Thank you.
Or is it not through Streamlabs anymore? Hey, it's not through Streamlabs anymore. Hold. We're going to see if this is... because it's just through...
This, live know. Live repair of the stream.
Live on, repair on the of the... Can I...
Streaming? Streamer?
Streamer? Streaming? No, it's not that one. Content. Anyway, we'll continue on. I'll figure it out. Alerts. That's what we want. But anyway, yeah, we're here live. We're talking about things. I'm trying to... because it's going through Twitch now. The alerts. So I don't know if I can replay a thing. We're going to just preview this. Did you hear that?
Yeah.
Okay, now the alerts work. Okay.
Yeah, now I heard it.
Okay, so we have it going through the right place now. Anyway, hi chat. We're here. We're live. I just got to remember to turn that one on. But, yeah. We're here doing things, talking things. Sports, entertainment, professional wrestling.
Ding!
But again, thanks, Brent, for 16 months.
We appreciate it. Mm-hmm. So, jumping into the news and the notes, we have Big E. He is jumping into the world of TV sitcoms, where he will join the new Peacock series called Laid as a guest star.
He was one of seven, eight people that were announced as guest stars today. It's being executive produced by Nick Khan's sister.
Hey.
Who was also the producer on The Young Rock.
There you go.
She's been a part of American Dad, Fresh Off the Boat, and a few other shows. So
let's go.
But anyway, that's big for him. Getting a guest starring role in a comedy series. I mean, that's pretty good. It could lead to something more. Because as we've all seen, his acting career is kind of, or wrestling career is kind of on the tail end because of the injury. So him having something else to do is, you know, pretty good.
Yeah, I think he announced it. He hasn't officially announced his retirement, but he indicated that his neck, while it was fine for like every day, he's completely healed for like everyday life. For wrestling, it's just not there, and they don't know if it's going to get there. Yeah. And it'll probably be it could be years before it gets there. So him having a new job and him having a new role outside of wrestling, that's fantastic. He can grow his star a little bit and find potentially a new path to walk down that's outside of wrestling. Yeah, so good for him.
It's good for him.
He's so freaking talented.
Yes.
He will be perfect in this.
Indeed.
Rapper Sexy Red is headed to NXT on Tuesday night.
Yeah. People are excited for it. I don't know who she is, but she's going to be on NXT this week.
I've heard of her. I saw it and I was like, is she just going there to hang out or are they going to have her wrestle?
She says she wants to RKO someone, so...
Well, we'll see if they let her.
We'll see if they let her do something like that. Who knows?
WWE announced a 3-show tour in Japan for July 25th, 26th, and 27th. The 25th show will take place at the Edon Arena in Osaka. The 26th and 27th events will take place at the Ryogoku. I don't know how to say that.
Kokujikon? We're somewhere in Japan. Look it up.
Somewhere in Japan. I am so sorry for the mispronunciation.
Somewhere in Osaka, Japan. Look up the arena. Go to www.com. We'll have all the information. But yeah, they're going for the first time in a little bit to Japan for a 3-day tour. What that means for SmackDown that week, who knows? Might be a limited crew or might be taped in advance. But they're heading there. So it's the first step of maybe one day a premium live event of some sort in Japan.
Because this is the first time in what, 5 years that they've been there?
It's been a while. It's been, as the kids say, a minute.
Yeah, it has been a minute. And I know a lot of people are very excited about this. So go get your tickets. They should be on sale soon. This is an interesting announcement. And it's long. TKO Group Holdings, Inc., a premium sports and entertainment company, today announced that it has integrated the UFC and WWE live events teams into one unit, creating one of the strongest live events portfolios in all of sports and entertainment. The integrated unit, the TKO Live Events Strategy Team, will drive revenue growth strategies across key areas, including live event development and scheduling, tourism, incentive programs, ticketing, and fan experiences. This new structure aligns with TKO's efforts to leverage the power and expertise of both UFC and WWE to maximize event revenue potential and pursue growth opportunities and cost synergies. They're saving money. Peter Dropick. Oh, God. He had hell in school, didn't he? who has played an important role in driving UFC's industry-leading live events success for nearly two decades, and who is a pivotal member of the senior executive team that has led UFC to five consecutive years of record revenue, has been elevated to the lead the integrated unit as the executive VP of event development and operations for TKO, which didn't their event guy just leave, like, for WWE?
Amazing how it correlates.
Amazing how that happens. Joe Pick will work closely with UFC, WWE, and TKO leadership, including UFC president and CEO Dana White, Chief Content Officer Paul Levesque, and UFC COO Lawrence Epstein, WWE President Nick Khan, and TKO CFO Andrew Schleimer, to leverage the massive global popularity of UFC and WWE to continue to grow the TKO live events business domestically and internationally.
A couple other WWE high-ups, long-term ones, have been let go as of today. I don't remember their names, but they made some changes in the office today. They kind of merge everything together. This was always the plan. They want to merge everything together, have WWE and UFC hold events on the same weekends in the same buildings. They kind of want to maximize everything, cost cutting a little bit, and they want to basically get people to pay for events to come to their areas. And when you could say you're going to get a WWE and UFC weekend or a series of events in a 3-day span, people are more than likely going to want to pay more money and have you come to their city.
Yeah. Yeah, instead of WWE reaching out and saying, hey, or UFC reaching out and saying, hey, we want to hold an event in your town, it's you have cities vying to get the bigger events, especially if you can book like UFC in addition to WrestleMania or, say, SummerSlam or some of the other bigger events that WWE runs. So this is a big step. Like, I think we always knew that they were going to begin to merge parts of the company together, because it's been operating essentially as two separate companies but one, and now they're starting to bring it in together where it eventually just will become TKO and
with
WWE
two different,
and UFC
or brands,
yeah, two yeah. different brands.
WWE going back to Sundays. I mean, realistically, they will be probably a couple events on Sundays, probably more so in the fall, but more than likely you could see a WWE NXT live event, premium live event on a Sunday on a UFC weekend, because WWE is going international with a lot of their events. And they're going to fall on Saturday afternoons, which is their main goal, to be in the afternoons and your major big five events are going to be nighttime shows. Everything else is probably going to be afternoon events. Local nighttime events, if they can get all of them. The fall is harder for them, I think, to get those events. Who knows? So maybe they may be a little bit more domestic. But we'll see. We'll see how it goes and what happens. But this is what happens when you merge companies. You're going to streamline, and everyone's going to play their part.
And we'll see how it goes. Like, they're going to be trying some things, and we'll see if it yields fruit. Because, well, the other announcement is kind of ties to this. It seems Minneapolis is going to get its make good for WrestleMania. SummerSlam has been announced for August 1st and 2nd in the year of 2026, and SummerSlam will be two nights. Now that's two nights. 2 years from now, but here's where it gets kind of tricky, is that this year it's one night. It's been announced that it's one night in Cleveland. Yes. They have not announced 2025 yet.
Because this year is only going to be one, so everyone freak out. Oh my God, SummerSlam's two nights. This isn't 2 years for now, the strategic movement. What this comes across to me as, hey, we accepted your bid for bringing a WWE premium live event to your area, and like all the things you're offering, we'll do it on August 1st and 2nd in 2 years.
Because that's when we can fit you into the schedule.
Because it just sort of fits, and how it works out for all parties involved. Because you can't, you got to book it out a little bit far in advance, because, the NFL kind of has a plan for, even though they don't announce their schedules, they have dates kind of held for things. So you got to work around preseason NFL football and stuff like that.
So them stoking out 2 days in the beginning of August in Minneapolis is hard because you have Minnesota Vikings preseason games. So you have to get there and get the spot in. So whatever that week would be, they would be on the road for their preseason game or what have you. So it's like you got to kind of make it all work. There are a lot of rumors and speculations of why they're announcing SummerSlam 2 years in advance and a two-night event in domestic areas, because there's also a lot of rumor and speculation of what the Kingdom of Saudi Arabia is trying to do. So, and what their target is, they want a top tier premium live event in their area, and are willing to pay big money for it. So,
yeah, and that's all speculation, that's all rumor. But if here's the thing with WWE at this point, money talks. And they are willing to sell to pretty much anybody. And whoever the top bidder is, they get what they want. Like, I know Nick Khan made certain statements about certain events not leaving the United States. But if people are willing to pay to get them, well.
Do I think WWE will do a WrestleMania in Saudi Arabia? I hope not. It would kill it. It would.
Be weird.
It wouldn't feel like WrestleMania. Could I see them doing a Royal Rumble maybe there? That's more of a possibility. Even though
I think they would.
They would try. They would think about it. But I don't know.
I think they would probably test it internationally before they took it to Saudi. Just because you have to figure out logistics for that. So I can see Europe getting it before Saudi gets it. Just because it's, how does this work for American audiences in terms of the time difference? Because like for when they're in Saudi, the event starts at what?
1 Eastern.
11 in the morning?
No, 1 Eastern? 1 Eastern.
That's, I mean, honestly, it wouldn't be awful on a Saturday where you have a 4-hour WrestleMania and you're done by 5.
Yeah, but it wouldn't have the same feeling.
It wouldn't have the same feeling. I agree with that. But you also could wait and watch the replay of it because they're going to be on Netflix and Peacock. But so it's not the
time you're watching it, it's the atmosphere.
Oh, I know. I know. But something has to be sacrificed for them to do that, unfortunately. And for us, it would be the atmosphere of it. It would be the build up of it, the anticipation of it, of, you know, I have to, because, like, I don't know about anybody else, but, like, when Mania rolls around, it's, you have your schedule for WrestleMania where it's, okay, I have to make sure I have, like, my dinner, and I have to, like, make sure that, like, it's here, or if I'm cooking, that it's made so I could sit down and eat my dinner and then watch WrestleMania. And like have all my snacks and have all my drinks ready to go and kind of have like a little event for WrestleMania itself, similar to the Super Bowl, but not quite. With it being like in Saudi or in Europe, it's like, oh, that whole schedule gets screwed up because it moves forward.
Yeah, which is why I have a hard time. I don't think they would. It's tough. Money talks. But I think they would want to cherish what they have with WrestleMania and not completely kill it.
I don't think they would want to completely kill it, but at the same time, if, like you say, money talks. If the Saudi prince is willing to pay to get WrestleMania in Saudi Arabia, and TKO's whole goal is to grow that relationship with Saudi Arabia, like, that's their whole mission. They came out and said that, I think this week, was that they want to develop that relationship, especially on the UFC side. So it's one of those things that, hey, we'll give you WrestleMania, but we want something, or we'll give you like a Royal Rumble, but we want something in return, kind of thing. Because UFC has seen the success that WWE has had internationally, especially in Saudi, and they're like, hey, we want a chunk of that. Y'all got money. Let's talk.
And UFC's headed there with an event soon, and if that goes well, who knows what will happen, but we'll see.
We'll see.
I'm curious to see what happens.
Moving on to the A of the E of the W's, speaking of curious to see what happens, I'm not sure how people feel about this. I didn't see the internet reaction to this. In a response to outcry by the fans, All Out has been moved back a week from September 1st to September 7th.
Yeah, it's going to totally change the buy rates by 6 days. People have more money to spend in 6 days later. I rolled my eyes heavy when I said that.
I heard the sarcasm.
It's just, they're trying to make a move to where it's like, hey, we're going to, you know, we can have an extra week of TV and kind of build an event, which is fine. That part's fine, but it's like having, even when WWE did it for the longest time of like, hey, 3 weeks later, here's an event. It was kind of hard on people. Now, with the print being on Peacock, it's not as bad when, you know, the events are, you're not paying double, you're still paying the same price a month. If All In and All Out are at some point moved to a streaming service, then that would be fine. It wouldn't matter. At this point, there are going to be pay-per-views and they're $50 a piece. It's hard on the wallet.
Mm-hmm.
Especially because the AEW fan is paying a lot more now because there's a lot more events.
Yep.
So, I don't know. And then there's a pay-per-view a month later. So, it's a lot. You're asking a lot from your audience. So, who knows?
I feel bad for anybody that was coming in from out of town and made plans to come in because moving it back a week screws all those people. Like, hard screws them because now it's they all have to get hotel rooms, they all have to change flights, and sure, it's May and it's not September, but that's, in travel terms, that's not a lot of time to get stuff changed. And some people may have non-refundable stuff and they may be out the money to go, and they may not be able to go now because of this change. Like, I see where they were going with it. I respect that they tried to be accommodating, but you almost would have just been better leaving it alone and just letting it go. And next year, you just don't do two back-to-back.
Mm-hmm.
You kind of realize, hey, maybe that's a bad idea and we shouldn't be doing that. But also, things may change next year because pay-per-view's going away. We talked about it last week. So they're going to have a completely different strategy probably once pay-per-view goes away. But yeah, to me... it would have made more sense to just leave it alone, let everybody do what they're going to do on the first, take whatever loss you're going to take or take whatever win you're going to take, and then move forward and not do it anymore.
Yeah, we'll see what happens.
AEW and collectibles company U2s are partnering together to release a new set of figurines. It was announced that Chris Jericho, Tony Storm, both a color version and a black and white version, and Orange Cassidy are being featured in the first series of AEW U2s figures. It will be available for pre-order starting at 3 p.m. Eastern on May 28th. U2s list that the figures won't ship until October 25th through November 25th.
Bit of a wait.
That's a lead time.
You're giving a little bit of a lead time on that one. Yeah, that's
what, like 5 to 6 months?
Yeah.
I kind of wonder if for like the first batch, if they're not going to be made to order.
It might be.
That, like, they're testing this to see how popular it actually is. And so it's, because that's what it feels like. It's, we're going to take all the orders on May 28th or in that time frame. We're going to take all our pre-orders. They'll have a cutoff for the pre-order probably. And then you have to wait for the figures to be made. Or they may have, like, a set batch of figures that are scheduled to be made. And then it's, if those sell out, they'll have to make more.
Mm-hmm.
But they may have, like, a set, okay, we're going to make, like, 3,000 of these for each person.
Yeah.
Just as an example. And it's, if all 9,000 units sell, that's great. We'll go ahead and get them made. But then if we sell more of somebody, then we can have more made. So I think that's what it feels like they're doing is, okay, we have a set number that we want to get to. And then if we need to make more, we can cover.
Yeah.
Because I doubt they're made.
No, they're not made at all yet.
So. But good for them. Interesting. I saw the Tony Storm figure in the black and white. Look cute.
Mm-hmm.
So if you're interested, go pre-order. But Blaine Brents?
Bones breaking. Backs cracking. Shoulders snapping. It's this week's injury roundup.
This is not great news for AEW. Nope. Eddie Kingston, in an update, has a broken leg, a torn ACL, and meniscus.
#blamebrent.
Which sounds painful as hell.
He has to wait to have surgery in July, so he'll be out till May of next year.
Wasn't he supposed to be in, like, the Team AEW stuff?
Yep, and then got hurt.
Oh, that sucks.
Remember we talked about last week? He took the suplex on the guardrail.
That's right.
Yeah, so last week we had it just as a leg injury. And then it all came out this week of what actually did in fact happen. So
That is a hell of a hit on a guardrail.
Oh, yeah, it was right on the leg, right on the knee.
Ow. Painful. Julia has a broken wrist.
Hashtag blame Brent.
She hurt it in a match a couple days ago, I think. But she will be able... She's scheduled to make her next appearance in July. Which could coincide with an upcoming WWE NXT event, too. So...
Coincidence?
We'll see what happens.
And bad news for Ivar, he's suffering from a spinal injury.
Hashtag blame Brent.
Yeah, there's a lot going on there. He's in rough shape. He's seeing some people. We'll see what happens, see how that goes for him. But it's not...
It's not life-threatening or anything like that.
No, but it could hinder his career.
Yeah, he came out on... I saw it on Instagram. I don't know if you put it out on Twitter, but that he is injured... And that he's seeing people, like Rock said, and that it could impact his career, and his career could be done depending on, I think, what the doctors tell him and what the next steps are, which is awful for him if it's true. Like, you hate that for him because that's just no fun for anybody involved. So hopefully he can recover and come back and the Viking Raiders can be stronger than ever.
Yep.
But with that, I say we're going to take our break for the evening. What do you think?
Sounds good.
So when we come back, we're going to be talking all about WWE King and Queen of the Ring. You're listening to The Rack right here on WallTalkRadio.com, and we will be right back.
And the seal goes ow, 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 but there's one sound that no one knows. What does the fox say?
Are you following us on twitch.tv/WTR live? Do you have Amazon Prime? If so, you can link it to your Twitch account and subscribe to our Twitch channel for free with Twitch Prime. It's the easiest way to help support us for free.
Every Sunday night, the evolution continues with Wrestle Talk Radio, giving you all the latest happenings in sports entertainment. With the intern, the producer, the original Tim Stein, and sometimes, a K-Sheet. It's WTR Sunday night, 10 p.m. Eastern, 8 p.m. Mountain, only on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
Like what you hear? Subscribe to The Rack on Apple Podcasts. Just search for The Rack Radio Show. And while you're there, leave us a review and tell us your thoughts on your favorite show on a Thursday night.
Every Monday night, once Monday Night Raw ends, the Raw post show goes live.
You want to hear a story? Give a hell yeah!
Join Lindsay and Sir Rockin' as they give their opinions on what they liked.
What?
What they didn't like.
What?
And what left them completely confused.
What?
It's the Raw Post Show.
What?
Monday nights.
What?
11 p.m. Eastern.
What?
Live on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
And that's the bottom line. Go Stone Cold Simpson.
This just into the CB Radio News Desk. Sources have confirmed that CB Radio will be live Saturday nights at 11:30 p.m. Eastern.
Wasn't this confirmed last year?
Yes.
Then how is this breaking news?
No one said it was breaking news. We here at the CB Radio News Desk are just confirming what has already been confirmed.
To confirm, you are just confirming that CB Radio is live Saturday nights at 11:30 p.m. Eastern.
Confirmed. We would like to remind you.
Always trust the source that confirms that CB Radio is live Saturday nights at 11:30 p.m. Eastern.
Confirmed.
Confirmed.
Did you know that you can use support a creator code ROCKSOCK in the Fortnite item shop? That's ROCKNSOCK in the Fortnite item shop. Hashtag ad because we are a hashtag epic partner.
You think you know me?
Hey, this is Adam Copeland, a.k.a. the Rated R Superstar, a.k.a. Dwight Hendrickson from Haven, and you are listening to The Rack.
Welcome back to The Rack right here on WildTalkRadio.com, brought to you by our friends over at MBG Films. Check them out, YouTube.com/MBG1211. And if you're listening to us over on RackRadioShow.com, WildTalkRadio.com, or directly on Twitch, thank you so much for tuning in. We greatly appreciate it. If you're on Twitch and you happen to have a Prime Gaming sub available, we can use it here for free for 30 days. All you have to do is hit the little purple button down at the bottom of the screen, and you can subscribe for free. It is that simple. You can also subscribe the regular way, follow the channel, hang out and chat, or listen to the archive. We are happy to have you any way we can get you. And now we're going to talk about the bling of the ring, the king and queen of the ring. There we go. I can speak. Because they're going for serious hardware this Saturday in Saudi.
And as we learned today, shots at either the WWE or world titles.
Mm-hmm.
Of the respective brands. I saw some people going like, hey, it could be Gunther and Cody now. Hunter said respective shows. So if Gunther wins, he will have to challenge for the world heavyweight title, not the WWE championship. Could they do something and make it happen? Yes, but I don't see them doing that just yet. But no, that's good. They added some stipulations to it. Kind of adds a little more value to the King and Queen of the Ring. People wanted it. People got it. Like, oh, it's been tradition. And it's happened like once. So, but they
once this is tradition.
Once many years ago, it was a tradition. Even though, like, hey, you won it and you got it. But it wasn't like a thing. Mm-hmm. Because Steve Austin, like, I saw people talk about it a couple weeks ago. I was like, but Steve Austin never got the title shot at SummerSlam. Hunter never got the shot at SummerSlam. Yeah, King Gamble got a shot at SummerSlam, but it wasn't like, oh, that was the reason. Billy Gunn sure as shit did not get the title shot when he won King of the Ring. Edge didn't. No one really got it. It just so happened to be, hey, they were in the title picture and it just sort of happened type of title shots. Except for one, and I forget who it was, but Brock got it. Yeah, it was Brock's in 2002. And that was the last time it was the longest time it was a PLE. So
I like that they added the stakes back to it, because like I think that's where it floundered the last time that they did it, when you had Zelina and Xavier win, is they were like King Zelina and King Xavier and Queen Zelina.
Yeah.
They're both in my books. How about that? But they didn't really go anywhere with it. Like, they both worked the gimmick and they both did really well with it, but ultimately they just didn't end up going anywhere.
It didn't elevate.
It didn't do anything. It just was sort of an accessory at that point. And so, yeah, I'm happy that they've added the stipulations for both the men and the women. And what's really nice is it also goes ahead and just sets up the main events for SummerSlam.
Yeah,
and you see the roadmap and you see where they're going and what their intention and their plan is for SummerSlam.
Right, so whoever wins has the 2 months to sort of get ready and fight, so that whoever the champions are have to make it to SummerSlam. They have to go through Clash of the Castle and Money in the Bank before they get to SummerSlam and fight these people who will have 2 months to wait.
I was going to say, because there's a few events coming in between then and now that could muck things up.
Right. So
especially it makes Money in the Bank.
Mm-hmm. But it makes SummerSlam feel even more important now that, hey, here's this King and Queen of the Ring tournament. It will actually mean something. Okay, now that sets up SummerSlam. So it's like we're booking long term on who's going where. But speaking of, we should talk about those matches.
We should, but long term booking, my God. Who'd have thunk it? So this is a stacked show from top to bottom. We have 3 title matches and the King and the Queen finals. So I'm going to start with the IC title match. Sami Zayn versus Chad Gable versus Bronson Reed. This has been really well built in terms of Zayn and Gable. Bronson sort of feels like the odd man out in this a tad bit. Just a smidge.
He does kind of, but he also has a really good shot at winning. He could have a really good shot at winning because he's big Bronson Reed. And I don't know. Feel like this is Sammy's moment to get, like, I feel like this is where Sammy's going to win, but I think this is where Otis turns on Chad.
Could be.
And cost him the match. I feel like Chad's like, you're going to help me. And Otis kind of gives the nod, but it's like he's going to reluctantly do something. But I feel like Otis will have enough of Chad's crap and sort of be like, hey, I'm out, which cost him the match.
Yeah. And more meant Bronson felt like, storyline-wise, he felt like kind of like the odd man out. Because you've been doing...
A little bit, but he's been mixed in there a bunch. He's been sending... He's been there. I don't think he's out of it. He's had a part.
He's had a part, but it's like mainly been Sammy and Chad that they've been sort of like really focusing on in terms of the trio, and especially for Chad's heel turn.
Honestly, I think Sammy's been the odd man out. I think he's been kind of the least push out of the three since for this. Because I've been doing a pretty decent job building Bronson for this. Sammy's kind of been the background player hitting his shots, but Chad's been the main focus.
Yeah, Brent brings up a good point of this is where Otis can turn and then set up the Creeds, joining Chad in beating down Otis and setting up the next level. I don't disagree. I can see Otis just refusing to do it and the Creeds coming out and potentially beating up Otis or doing it for Otis. And then that sets up Monday night where Otis and the whole group are just unceremoniously drummed out of the Academy. And then you have Chad Gable managing the Creeds, which is not the worst thing in the world. I'm just going to say that.
No.
I can think of a lot worse things than that. I think Otis... It could be Otis cost Chad the title. I don't think Sammy's losing. But it doesn't... It's weird. Because like it doesn't do anything for Sammy if he really wins. But he needs the win. But it does more for Chad or Bronson if they win.
Yeah.
Sammy's been a good champion. Like he ended the reign and it was a really monumental moment. But they haven't done much with him after that. Like this is kind of the first feud coming out of WrestleMania, so maybe Sammy holds on and they continue to push Sammy versus Chad with the new Alpha Academy?
Possibly. Sammy gets some backup of his own.
He could.
I'm going with Sammy retains.
I say Sammy retains.
8-Ball, does Chad Gable win? Better not tell me. 8-Ball, does Sammy Zayn win? You may rely on it. Will?
Wrestler 1.
Sammy.
Oh, okay. All right. The Women's World Championship is on the line as Becky Lynch is taking on Liv Morgan for the title. This is the one that she was forced to, or Rhea was forced to vacate, and Becky picked up the win, which kind of kicked off, at least for me, a very awkward feud between the two. They're trying to put a little bit of heat on it. You had Liv sort of go after Becky today in the press conferences. Liv's been the aggressor in this. There is the factor that Becky supposedly has not re-signed yet.
That's
nobody
the rumor.
Nobody knows the status of her title right now or her contract right now, and that could impact the title. But at the same time, she could have signed and they're just keeping it very quiet. Or she's going to sign when she gets to Saudi.
It's all possible. I'm thinking Liv wins the belt.
Okay, you said this on Sunday, so explain your position.
I just think she needs the belt. I don't think Becky needs it. The people, like, should Becky have a longer title run? Yeah, but her win was not, like, she was not in the story to hold the belt. She's the transitional champion. You can make the argument, well, why did you just put the belt on Liv in the Battle Royal? Because I would want to see Liv win it in a singles match. I think that's a bigger moment for Liv to actually take the title off of Becky Lynch. I know you have a lot of problems with the Revenge Tour, and I understand why. But I also see it as just her gimmick of she's, you know, now on top of the world as Women's World Champion. She got what she wanted and has to prove that she belongs there. And this will also set up a returning Rhea Ripley, probably at SummerSlam, to challenge for her, possibly for the title. If not after, maybe after SummerSlam with who I'm having for the Queen. But no, I think Liv should get the belt. I think Becky's the transition champion to get it to Liv. Her contract and everything, even if she signed a new contract, there's probably, you know, stuff that she's going to want to take off for, and she probably could use a break. But yeah, I'm going Liv. I think you got to do something to make this show a little bit more impactful and less status quo in terms of the championships. So I would put the belt on Liv.
I can see that, and I do agree with the fact that the reason why, and just to add on to that, like the reason why that Liv didn't get it at the Battle Royal, in my opinion, is they had to reestablish her. She just come back like a couple weeks before or right at the Battle Royale. I think she came back in the Battle Royale.
No, she was back like a month.
Okay. They had to reestablish her a little bit more. And it didn't make sense to have her win the title in the Battle Royale. Like, I get a lot of people wanted it to happen. But I feel like if she had won it in the Battle Royale, it would have fallen a little flat because you wouldn't necessarily have a lot of people to challenge her right off. Whereas Becky, you were able to build a couple things with her, get them through and get them to this point and build up Liv to set her up to win this title. And then Liv can kind of sort of hold on for Mania. Or not Mania, excuse me, SummerSlam. I was saying Mania is a little long. But I just don't... I'm sorry, a Liv title reign just does nothing for me. Like, it just doesn't interest me at this stage. But frankly, neither does Becky. And I hate saying that because I love Becky. And I like Liv. But it's... The whole Becky situation is weird because, like you said, the contract's coming up. Nobody knows the status of it. And it's very likely that Becky could lose the title and she gets the vacation that she was supposed to have after WrestleMania. But when Rhea got hurt, Becky came back from her vacation to carry the title for the company until they were ready to crown a new champion. And I fully expect that if Becky resigns, she's going to get the Randy or the Shawn schedule where she has a much lighter traveling schedule. And the main reason is she has a daughter and her daughter is growing up. Rue's like, what, four?
Three, four at this point, yeah.
Yeah, three or four at this point.
No, three. No, she's three. She announced her pregnancy in 2020. So she had her late 2020. So she's three going on four. Because she was the pandemic WrestleMania.
That's right. So you have that situation where Rue's essentially three going on four, right? At some point, she's going to start school, and Becky's going to want to be there for all of it. So is Seth. So I can see them both taking a reduced schedule, especially Becky, because she'll want to be there to take care of her daughter. She'll want to go off and do other things. You know, she's writing books. She's eyeing other things. She's eyeing the next stage of her career, whatever that is. Because in terms of WWE, she's done it all, pretty much. You know, she's achieved her goals for the most part in that company. She's been the face of the company. And now it's, what do I want to do next? What do I want to be next? and where do I want to go? Do I want to stay here and keep wrestling, or do I want to move on to that next phase of my career, whatever that is? And so I think that's kind of where she's at. So even if she doesn't resign, I don't really see her going anywhere else, at least for a while, just because she may want to take a break. But I'll back you in terms of Liv winning. I don't foresee Becky retaining. There's no need for Becky to retain, so I'll go with you on Liv.
Eight ball, does Liv retain? Or what, Liv win? Very doubtful. So Becky wins according to the 8-ball wheel.
Wrestler 2.
Liv.
We're screwed. They all picked Becky on Sunday.
No, it said very doubtful for Liv. The 8-ball.
Oh, okay.
So
we're still screwed because there's a consensus.
Yeah, well, anyway. What's next?
Up next, you have the undisputed WWE Championship, the former UWU title of Cody Rhodes taking on Logan Paul.
I expect this to be really good.
They've been putting some stank on this one.
They teased it being champion versus champion for both titles. Logan Paul was like, no. Which was a nice heel move to say, like, no, I'm coming for Cody's belt. I don't want to put mine up. Cody's like, I want two belts. That's cool.
Yeah, it's
irritated some people. Well, why did you tease it? Because they were never going to do it. I knew from the beginning. It's like, I'm not going to do it. Because it's like, then you're going to have to beat Cody. And you're not looking to beat Cody. So it just wouldn't have made sense. It was a nice tease. Good heel move. This is an easy Cody win. Logan Paul will put up a fight, probably some shenanigans, probably sneak one of his boys in to try to help.
Look for somebody to be in the prime bottle again.
Either prime bottle or from the crowd, something, some sort of shenanigan involved, but that's in a Logan Paul match. But Cody Rhodes will ultimately retain. Match will probably give him a lot of time. Logan Paul will probably try to do something viral like he normally does. And if you remember, Logan had a really, really great match with Roman in Saudi a couple of years ago. Or it might have been, was it last year? Might have been, I don't know. It's been a minute. But he had a really good match with him. But yeah, it's Cody retaining. I think this is the easiest pick on the show.
Yeah, I would agree with that. I'm with Rock. There will be shenanigans. I think Logan whipped out the brass knucks at the press conference today. And was showing those off. So there will be shenanigans of all kinds of proportions. Logan will have his viral moment, which they will put on social media, and it will do big business in terms of impressions. Even though it would fabulously match his outfit, it makes no sense to give Cody Rhodes the U.S. Championship. It's fine where it is. Logan's doing a good enough job with it. He's got it out there. He carries it everywhere with him. It's good press for them. And in truth, if Cody won the U.S. Championship, he would have to vacate it anyway, because I don't think he can hold both. So he has to pick one to vacate, and he's not going to vacate the heavyweight title for the U.S. title. So it's kind of a waste to take the title off of Logan Paul just to then have to have a tourney to put it on somebody else, or just put it on somebody else. So, yeah, I say Cody wins here.
8-ball, Cody retain. Ask again later. I will in 2 seconds. Will.
Wrestler 2.
8-ball, Logan Paul. Better not tell me. 8-ball, Cody Rhodes. 8-ball, Cody Rhodes. All signs point to yes.
Oh, okay.
So Will goes Logan Paul. 8-ball went Cody. Next.
They're split. All right, we have our king and queen final matches for your King of the Ring. We have Gunther taking on either Randy Orton or Tama Tonga.
It's going to be Gunther and Randy, for starters, because that makes the most sense. It does not make sense to put Tama Tonga in there with Gunther. I think tomorrow Kevin screws Tama Tonga against Randy, or gets involved to make sure there's no other interference, and Gunther will take on Randy, which is a headline marquee match.
which is what your final should be, and puts some actual doubt into who actually could win. Because if it's Randy and Gunther, Gunther is like, oh yeah, hell yeah, have him be Randy, have him go to SummerSlam. But also Randy beating Gunther, that would be a big deal. Reestablish Randy Orton, who's coming back. We're about 5-6 months back on his return. Give him a really big win on a big show. Give him King of the Ring, something he's never done. And then you do Cody and Randy at SummerSlam in a big big SummerSlam main event,
where you bring all that history between the two.
I mean, that right there.
I can think of worse things.
That's a big money match right there. That's a big SummerSlam main event. Just when you think about it. Does he need to win King of the Ring to get there? No. But just
absolutely
put
not.
That put that in the back of the mind. It could be something. But no, I think King Gunther, King General, is the better sound to it. He should be... it should be his. He deserves it.
I was going to say, if Gunther wins, is he going to have to... Is like Kaiser going to have to change his name? Because you can't have two Kaisers. Like, is Gunther going to make Kaiser change his name? Because he's like, I'm the Kaiser now. I'm Kaiser General or Kaiser Gunther or whatever he wants to call himself. You don't want to cost Tama Tonga the match. Or you don't want to have Tama Tonga lose clean. So I can see Kevin, like you said, interfering or some other kind of interference or shenanigans happening that takes Tama out of the picture. And I just don't see them putting him up against Gunther yet. There's no reason to do that. You're trying to build the bloodline on SmackDown. Tama's their hitman, basically. You don't want to have him lose against Gunther. That would just be a really bad idea.
And that's heel. It doesn't
work.
Doesn't work in that with that crowd.
But if Solo wants to stop dressing like The Weeknd, that would be great. Because that was like straight up The Weeknd. Anyway, I can get on board with Gunther versus Randy, and I can also get on board with Gunther winning the whole thing and becoming King Gunther, because that's going to be his next thing after the IC title, is you give him the accolade of King of the Ring, and then you set up the challenge for SummerSlam between Gunther and Damian Priest, which you're in the process of turning Damian Priest face anyway, so by the time you get to SummerSlam, it's very likely Damian or whomever is the title holder at the time will be a babyface. And you can even take Judgment Day with him, and that gives you Judgment Day against Imperium, or what's left of them. So you have that going on there. I say Gunther takes the whole thing for the men's side.
Magic 8-Ball, does Gunther win King of the Ring? Don't count on it. There's that. So we'll go with the SmackDown representative. Will?
Wrestler 2.
So the SmackDown representative is the King of the Ring.
I mean, you could do Randy versus Cody. That would be a really, really, really good match.
Yeah,
but I think they're...
You can get there any way you want, but him having King of the Ring would be an easy way to set it up.
Yeah, but I think they're going to hold on to that.
Possibly. You never know.
That would be a good Mania match.
Yeah, but he has final bosses for Mania.
Oh, I know. He's reserved.
So SummerSlam could be a good place to do it. Let's talk about the Queen of the Ring.
So the last match we're going to discuss, Queen of the Ring finals, Lyra Valkyria taking on either Nia Jax or Bianca Belair. This is tricky to pick.
They said it on Sunday. The accolade for Bianca is just another accolade. She's done it, been there, told the story. Bianca versus Bayley at SummerSlam? I mean, we've seen it. It's good. I think doing something to elevate someone using the platform of Queen of the Ring, Lyra winning the whole thing, beating Bianca in the finals, because I think Bianca beats Nia. I know they built in the knee thing, but I think Bianca overcomes and is heading to the Queen of the Ring finals because it Makes the most sense. I think Lyra getting the big win, because she's being getting the rub from Becky, like the nod. It's Lyra versus Liv, SummerSlam. I'm good with that. Lyra versus Becky, SummerSlam. I'm good with that. We've seen it. It's a really good match.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like there's a lot of emphasis right now to make Lyra something, which they need. They need to put someone in that position. And they're doing a great job, like, aligning her with Becky in some manner since her debut. Been the right move. So winning the Queen of the Ring tournament, making her the queen, I think that plays a lot. Some can say, oh, it would do a lot for Nia. It would. It would elevate her, and she could be cocky as shit as the Queen of the Ring. I'm here for it. I'd be here for it. But I think overall, I think Lyra should win the whole damn thing.
I'm going to agree with you on most of that. They are strapping the rocket to Lyra. They're getting ready to light it. That's very evident based on what happened on Monday night and what they've been doing with her since they brought her up from NXT. They're looking to move her up very quickly into that sort of main event women's scene because they need that top baby face, especially with potentially Becky going away. It's we need to establish somebody else. We need to make sure that they're good to go, and we need to put them, you know, in the position where they need to be. And they're doing that with Lyra. You're seeing a little bit of the passing of the torch between Becky and Lyra, where she's getting the rub from Becky. I don't want to have her lose, but I just don't see a need to move Bianca on. If you have her take a loss, you can have her take it against Nia. And you move Nia into the finals, and then you have Lyra beat Nia.
Yeah.
Because I feel like the grander win is Nia versus Lyra, because you have the heel face dynamic. Because Bianca's a heel, but she's kind of like a tweener heel.
Bianca?
She's
not.
She's kind of a tweener, at least to me.
Bianca's a true baby face to me.
She's kind of like moving in between.
I don't see that.
That's what I'm picking up. But with the babyface heel with Nia and Lyra, to me that's the better match, because you can have Nia walking in and she's like, You're nothing. I'm gonna beat you. I'm gonna take this whole thing. You have her be cocky as shit. And then Nia underestimates Lyra. And then Nia gets like just beaten, and that can set up history for the two later, because you know Nia's on SmackDown, but there is history I think between Nia and Lyra there, so you set that up and you begin to build that should they ever encounter each other again. But I can see Lyra versus Becky, or Lyra versus Liv, or Lyra versus somebody at SummerSlam for the title. And if you're going to have a Rhea Ripley return at SummerSlam, and you're doing the whole Liv Rhea thing, you could have Rhea cost Liv the title to Lyra at SummerSlam, and then you do Rhea versus Liv without the title present, because it doesn't really need to be there. And then you can have Rhea go after Lyra.
Possibly, yeah.
So you could do that, but yeah, I see Lyra taking the whole thing, but I say Nia beats Bianca, and then Lyra beats Nia.
We'll do 8-Ball first. 8-Ball, does the SmackDown representative win? You may rely on it. Wheel.
Wrestler 2.
The SmackDown representative. There you go.
There's our picks. You have until showtime on Saturday,
which is 1 p.m. Eastern. Which is 1 p.m. Eastern. Check your local listings for time and availability in your neck of the woods.
But you got stuff to plug, so plug away.
With the brand new Fortnite season, please use credit card Rocket Talk in the Fortnite. I'm Shepard Lin's M Ward, because we're hashtag every partners. We'll play that again, but the Fortnite season starts in a few hours, maybe, hopefully. Which means there's no game, there's no GM battles tomorrow night, because I'm playing Fortnite and I'm not playing WWE. GM battles will be back in a week from tonight. A week from tomorrow. Saturday night, 10 p.m. Eastern, we'll be playing Fortnite on stream on WTR Game Night, followed by CB Radio Live 11:30 p.m. Eastern, featuring the Excalibur Challenge.
Brent's favorite thing.
Which means there's no WTR on Sunday, which means Monday at 11 p.m. Eastern, the Raw Post Show, followed by CB Radio Not So Live, live talking AEW Double or Nothing. We'll be back next Thursday, 10 p.m. Eastern, to review the King and Queen of the Ring tournament. It's at Wild Talk Radio on Twitter, Facebook.com, it's Wild Talk Radio Network, Rack Radio Show, wherever you get your podcasts, so search the Rack Radio Show. Chat if you have Amazon Prime, link to your Twitch account, it's called Prime Gaming Support Channel, by clicking the purple rectangular button below the screen. You can also use curry code Rocksock or
Lin's M. Ward.
When you buy your battle passes at Fortnite Battle Royale, the Ultimate Battle Royale Experience, Chapter 5, Season 3, Wrecked, featuring Fallout. Yeah,
Fallout.
It's the storm is weird right now. I think the map's weird. Should be fun tomorrow. Or a train wreck.
Which would also fit the theme of the season.
Hashtag epic partner.
You can follow me on most of the social medias at Lin's Ward, LNSWRD. You can check me out on Twitch, twitch.tv/Lin's Ward. You can follow me over on YouTube, youtube.com/@SimaLin's Ward. And you can check me out on TikTok, Lin's Ward Zero. And while you're liking and subscribing and following and doing all the things, you can head over to Matt's channel, MBG Films, youtube.com/MBG1211, and like and subscribe on his stuff and tell him we said hi because he's an awesome person. So for Rock, I'm Lindsay Ward. You've been listening to The Rack right here on WildTalkRadio.com. And we will see you next week. Till then, bye.
Stuck to the plan. Always said that we would stand up, never ran. We the fam and loyalty never change up. Been down since day one, look at where we came from. Jumping out on anybody who try to say some. One thing about it, got a problem, I got the same one. Money rolls, we fold. Plenty clubs, we close. Follow the same code. Never turn our backs, our cars don't even lose control. One shot, everything rides on tonight. Even if I got three strikes, I'ma go for